All right, we'll talk about week 19 of our Philippian series, The Joy of a Proper Resume.
Resume. The proper resume.
Philippians 3:3-9.
So I'm hoping that all of the pieces of Philippians, that we take the little things, because when you read each of the pieces, I think that Paul has all these ideas in mind of what he's talking about. We don't take any confidence in our flesh, like, have you been circumcised? This ritual put you in this or that. Paul will talk about then, after saying no confidence in the flesh and our credentials or the things that we've done, and then he tells you about all the wonderful things that he did or was part of his life. It's kind of funny. When he was circumcised, how he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He wasn't a convert. He knew Hebrew from being a small child, but yet he counts all these things that people thought were so lofty as lost for the sake of knowing Jesus. And when Paul talks about this, he talks about that in terms of a righteousness. And when we tend to think of righteousness, we think about being good. But when Paul talks as a righteousness in this way, he's referring to his credentials, all of the physical things that we count as making ourselves better or perfect, or why that we deserve certain things that we do. And so there's three things in here, which I've talked about all these before. I just kind of stuck them all back into one message again to talk about it. But righteousness is our most fundamental need. The righteousness that we think that we have, we think somehow comes from us. And this is why when Paul gives his credentials or his resume, he says all of it means nothing. But this is how everybody lives their life. We have our credentials, our resume, and we think is what gets us into places, whether it's school or a relationship, whether it's an online profile, you put all of your stuff out there and say, hey, this is me. Anybody want me? Here's my resume. You even get a credit card. What are the first thing they do? They're going to check your credit score. They check your resume. Are you good enough to get the thing? Everything in our lives revolves around this idea of our resume or our righteousness. And we even do it with ourselves. We hold a level up for ourselves. And if we hit that, we feel good. And if we don't, we feel terrible. And we're setting the standard for ourselves. It's crazy. And what we're told by Paul here is that none of our credentials mean anything. Everything is centered in Christ. We have the perfect resume because of what Christ has done. And so where righteousness is our most fundamental need, it's then also our most fundamental problem, because we're always trying to reach up to attain to that thing. And then we realize in the end that our righteousness is a gift from God. And so we don't have to strive to attain. We can trust what Christ has done. And yet it's so hard, because our lives constantly fall back and we're constantly centered around these ideas of what have I done? How are people going to view me based upon these things? Because we're constantly taught that our resume system is how we live all of our lives. And Paul says when we come really to the place of trusting Christ and his righteousness, it's going to change how we go about everything in our lives so that we can rest in grace.
Yeah, I think it's pretty pervasive in most of life. So I think this should be very relevant to most people.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you talked about, at least in the message, I don't think I heard it now, but people who hate themselves, you know, it's this, you know, you're comparing yourself to your standard and not living in the reality.
And our own standard isn't even good enough, right?
No, absolutely not.
I can't reach my own. I should lower my own bar. So I think one of the interesting things we could talk about in our GCs this week is what is that? What is the thing that you use kind of as your credential? Like in the message, I'll talk about Element for me. When something goes wrong at Element, I always take it personally, whether it was my fault or not, if I had anything to do with it or not, partly because everybody asks me like, hey, what about this? And I'm like, I have no idea, but yes. And if I'm not in a good space, I just instantly start making excuses for it. Like somehow I have to better my resume to make sure people still like me or like Element. And so a lot of my worth comes down to things that take place here. I hate myself if I'm not a quote unquote successful pastor, but that means different things to different people. To me, it doesn't mean attendance. To me, it means when someone is going through something and I say, how does the gospel relate to that? And they say, I don't know. I'm like, I'm doing a horrible job. That's instantly where my mind goes, because I feel like if I'm doing a good job, they'd be like, oh, the gospel relates to this in this way. That's how I gauge it. Like not just the words, but how do I speak this into my life in this?
That exactly came to me in the sense of my very long track record of perfectionism. And how even I'm so grateful that God has called me to element here. And I've been growing in the sense of my righteousness is through Christ and Christ alone and not by my works. Ephesians, Galatians throwbacks right there. And Philippians too. But even this week, there were some things that I had wished that I had achieved earlier or whatnot and wanted them to work just right. But it's not that. What I'm striving for is not where my righteousness comes from. My righteousness is in Christ alone. So let me rest in that instead of trying and striving. This resume could be outside or very much for me, it's more internal in that regard, that I'm trying to prove that I am worth something to myself. But no, the truth is that Christ is the one who gives me that value and that identity, not my own self.
So where's yours, Michelle?
Oh, where is it not? Oh, I loved this message and it hit home so strongly. But something I was thinking about reading it was how, and this is where I love the beauty of emotions can be very revealing, especially in our metrics, our expectations, our beliefs, and that can be redirected back to the gospel. Because I find the times where I get most irritated, it's when I perceive like I don't get to operate at my best self, like when I get sick or some plan gets waylaid, right? Or I think about last year when I tore my Achilles. Oh my gosh, being laid up on the couch for like 2.5 months, realizing like, oh, I can't even like get up and walk around the house to help out my family. I can't do all these things I love. I can't show up for my kids the way I want to. Like, I don't get to be my best self. And I had to so actively try to lean into the fact like, wow, before the Father, He really sees me no differently right now. He can empathize with what I'm going through, but I am actually no less loved or less valuable to Him, even though I can do hardly anything. And I just think those are such amazing moments. And so maybe that'd be something to encourage people if they have a hard time identifying, like, well, when do you get most irritated? What are the things that frustrate you about, you know, your own ability or capacity? And I think those are good indicators of, okay, how does the gospel address that very thing?
It's not recognizing my sins that leads me to trust Christ, although, you know, there's part of it. But Paul is never saying, oh, I didn't realize my sins were my sins. It's that he had to recognize his righteousness, that these are my qualifications. Therefore, God should do A, B, and C because I've been this good.
Yeah.
And so he recognizes that even his credentials, his resume, his good things are things that also kept him apart from Christ.
Right.
So we're foster parents and we're fostering yet again. There's these moments when I have these grand dreams and visions of everything working out great. And then it doesn't. You're like, well, if only I was better at, you know, responding or thinking ahead or whatever, you know, whatever it is. And so, yeah, that's a current one we're kind of dealing with right now. And everything's fine, but it's like, oh, I wish I was better. So I have that like woefulness of my limitations and who I am and what I do. And yeah, I need that reminder that it's God's plan and it's good.
It's really neat that your view is also wearing off on your kids, because the first thing that Elijah says to me is, we have a new friend. And it's not like someone's in my house taking up my space.
Invaded my home.
Yeah. No, the first thing is we have a new friend. He's just right in with it. Like he's
cool.
Excited about it.
You know, and I also have element stuff. It's like I'm, you know, in a similar boat. Like whatever work is, it's like positives and negatives, ebbs and flows, difficulties, staffing changes.
When the preschool doesn't work out the way you want it to.
Well, so far it is. I'm just over budget.
It's so easy to shift the metrics.
I thought you were going to say it's so easy to go over budget.
It is. Yeah,
that is true. That's not a difficult thing.
Real. Sorry, it's so easy to shift the metrics.
I was going to say, it's just so easy to shift the metrics onto ourselves. And it's so tempting to do so.
We're always putting that self out there, our value that we've created for ourselves, for other people to see. It's just so easy to fall into.
Yeah.
Yep. Friendships, Even you know, being married for years, you still do that. Mm-hmm. You still, I mean, I care probably more what Marianne thinks about any message I give than just about anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, how was that? Well, you know, in the beginning it was like this, and then I'm like, fine. Nothing to keep you humble like a spouse.
So I've heard.
So is this what we just did? Is that confession in a group setting?
I think it can be. And I love kind of normalizing it in that way, because I think oftentimes the connotation with confession is like this very formal, rigid, high church practice. And I think it's as simple as being honest about where we fall short.
And then how's the gospel speak to that, right? How does it bring us back to realize that it's not about us and our resume? I think that there is a difference when we start to follow Christ and certain good things then flow out of our lives because of it, but that's not why we do the good things. Mm-hmm. The good things are because of the good thing Christ first did for us.
I'd really love to encourage people that as you share life with those in your GC or those outside your GC, how can you be listening for that bent toward performance just in everyday life? Because I think that's where it's most insidious. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it can be easy when we're in a structured setting to, you know, reflect on this and say, oh, I think it's, you know, health or work or whatever it is. But where in just everyday conversation can you be listening for, huh? How are people finding greater perceived worth or love or affection or whatever it is in these things? And how do you speak the gospel into that?
So we have people in our GC. When they answer questions, it's from a very workspace mindset, and you can hear it in their words. And yet, I mean, I try and say something and steer them back, and I know somebody else has tried to do this as well, but most people don't even hear it.
What does it sound like? Like, because we'll say like workspace, but what can that sound like, you think?
When we're talking through something like this, they'll say, yeah, I'm trying really hard to show God that I love him. I'm trying really hard to measure up to this thing that we assume that others or we or God has. And so I'm going to do this thing to measure up to that so I'm pleasing. Rather than starting in the place of I'm pleasing because of Christ, and therefore I will then walk this direction. Most people have that completely upside down.
Mm-hmm. How do we handle that tension between accepting our identity in Christ and still striving for his law and ideals versus putting the striving first and like trying to earn it?
Yeah.
Like, how do you live that out? Is there any practical thought, like you're saying, in the day to day, as I'm running around here, I'm going back to Mother's Day, dropping off my kids at practice, trying to make sure that I'm the good mom or whomever. How is there any advice or thoughts on how we can practice that individually so that we can also remind each other corporately when we're together?
Well, I think in a grace-centered culture, it's also important to not make obedience a bad word. Because sometimes we do. It's like, oh, get rid of that word. Don't get rid of the word obedience. Obedience is a great word. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We want to obey who Christ is. But it's the impetus behind it. Mm-hmm. Why are we doing this? And then the times we feel overwhelmed, that's when we can step back into the relationship and realize where it starts first. It's not, the relationship doesn't start in my obedience. Actually, the relationship, if you want to talk about obedience, started in Christ's obedience to the Father, that he fulfilled the law for us. Yeah. And so every time when we get into that place, we're like, I gotta, we take a step back and realize that Christ already gotta, and he did that. But it's so hard to do that in the midst of being so frantic. But that's why community is so important, to have others around us to remind us.
I think what's so beautiful too is like where the Holy Spirit's working within us is not just an external alignment of behaviors. Like this obedience is actually like a melting of desires, like with the will of God. And, you know, I think about times in my life where I've obeyed, you know, as a kid out of fear or wanting to be good. And that's very different than, wow, like God's actually placed this conviction within me. And it still may be costly, right? Because obedience is costly oftentimes, but there's this driving desire to live in alignment with his will and the values of his kingdom.
I want to show the love back.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we just need each other. Like even with my spouse, you know, she needs to be able to speak in when I'm when I'm frustrated at my performance, and I get to speak into her life when she's down about being a bad, and that's in air quotes, mom. If we're listening and we're trying to apply the gospel in people, in their life, in their situation, what they're looking to for their salvation, their on the ground, their salvation, you know what I mean? Like, not, maybe not eternally, but like, if only I'd be better than X, Y, or Z. And we get to speak into that. And we need, the more we hear it, the more we'll be able to do it ourselves. And we learn to be that gospel fluent in the everyday stuff of life. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this week our groups are have moments of confession and pointing each other back to the gospel, and brings about repentance and obeying and
freedom to fail.
And that'd be cool.
And to look at our resumes.
Speaking of resume,
we'll resume next week. I was just pissed off. Can I say that? I was pissed off at so many ways.
I don't know, we said cut it off.
That's where I went to.
that's the bar.